Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to provide scriptural answers. Do you have a Bible question? What's going on in your life? What's troubling you? Let's talk about it, because this is where the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. Relevant, personal, essential. This is Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. The phone lines are open now, and we invite you to call. The number is 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines right now. We're here to talk with you. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As you were saying, this is a program all about you, our listeners. We're simply here to point you into the Word of God, to help you make a connection with the love of God so that you can experience His life, His freedom, to the full. So this is all about you. We want to hear from you on today's broadcast. Let's talk about your life, the freedom that you're experiencing, maybe some questions that you have on how to experience freedom. But that's what we're here for today. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. Got this wonderful email from Cheryl, who lives in Durban, South Africa. She writes, "Firstly, I just want to say a big thank you for your podcast, which I listen to on a daily basis, along with Andrew Farley." And if you've listened to this broadcast, you've heard Andrew. He's sure been on our program before. "You guys have changed my life. You are real people teaching the Word of God as it is, simple and true." And she goes on to say, "Keep doing what you are doing, and know that God will provide. Teaching His Word and touching the lives of so many will not go unrewarded. I feel a large blessing coming your way." And we certainly hope Cheryl is right. And, of course, we can all say that we've experienced the riches of God's blessings in Christ Jesus. Every single one of us, if you've come to Christ by faith, you have experienced all the spiritual blessings in Christ. You've been given them all. That's such great news. Well, again, we have open lines. We'd love to hear from you on today's broadcast. 1-800-677-9377.
And guys, a question from Denise, who lives in Westerville, Ohio. "In the Bible, when idols are mentioned, it usually refers to false gods, false religion, suppressing the truth to follow our own ways. However, today, many preach that things in our everyday lives can become idols, such as our jobs, our hobbies, even our ministries. I can see how these things can get out of balance in our lives, but to actually become our idols? Can that be when God is our God?"
Well, certainly anything can become an idol. I mean, my goodness, they would cut down a tree back in the day, and they would carve out a little figure, and they would call that an idol. They would say that is God. We saw that with the people of Israel after they fled or escaped Egypt. They get to a safe place at Mount Sinai, and they hear the covenant that God gives them, and Moses goes back on the mountain. He's up there for an extended period of time. The people are starting to get a little nervous. Where is he? What's going on? And so they come up with a plan, and their plan was to form an idol. And they gathered up the gold and the silver, and they melted it down, and they formed a golden calf, and they bowed down and worshiped it and said, "You, O God, are the one who brought us out of Egypt." And so idols can be made out of anything. Yeah. And what an idol is just simply something or someone that we direct our affections to, our worship toward, other than Christ Jesus. Now, when you get into the New Testament, I think Jesus really distills it down, juices it down for us to help us see what it really is. You can't worship God and money at the same time.
Right.
Money is the idol that is out there, and every other little thing that we come up with to worship really is tied to money, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, just follow the money. You'll see where problems arise. You'll see struggles in your own life. It gets down to money, and you can't worship both God and money at the same time. Yeah. So the real idol that's out there is this thing called money. And that's why Paul said the love of money, not money itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Why? Because that gets down to what idolatry truly is.
Absolutely. Well, a great way to get the program underway. We would love for you to be a part of it. That's where we're here live every day to address your phone calls, to answer your questions, to lead you into the Word of God for the answer or the solution to your situation. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. This is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. And again, we thank you for joining us. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Question from Albert in Los Angeles. If repentance is a matter of the heart, that is, turning from unbelief to belief in Jesus, how do you reconcile or interpret Luke 17, verses 3 and 4? It seems that repentance is in relationship to sin here and not salvation. Furthermore, it occurs more than once. Thank you for an answer to this. And again, that scripture reference, Luke 17, 3 and 4.
Well, thanks. We certainly appreciate that that question. Repentance is a big word, isn't it, Richard?
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it's. We treat it way too lightly, generally speaking. But in the Bible, it's a big word.
It is a big word, and it's that act of taking us from a state of unbelief to a state of belief in Jesus Christ. That's why when you go into the Word of God, you see it used in relationship to conversion or salvation more than any other way. Here in Luke, if it says, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. This specifically is talking about repentance one toward another. When we've repented and turned from unbelief to belief in Jesus Christ, that's a one-time act. When we sin against one another, I think part of the process of reconciliation and being restored to that person is repenting of that sin and looking at it and saying, hey, I did this for this reason. I'm turning away from that so that our relationship can be restored. And I think that's beneficial because there's lots of times that people can come and say, I'm sorry, but they keep doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And after a while, you know, saying sorry just means nothing to you. If you're really sorry, why don't you stop doing what you're doing?
Yeah, like somebody said, keep running over your foot with your car repeatedly.
That's right. That's right. You're standing out in the driveway, and they back up over your foot.
Yeah.
And then
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry I did that. And then they run over it again. Then they back over it again. Then
sorry
they run over
time.
It again. And sorry every single time. You think, whoa, wait a minute. I don't think you're sorry at all. So repentance would be saying, hey, please forgive me of that act. And I want to move in a direction where I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important that we understand that this particular repentance is one to another.
Yes, and I think this is one of those places where the disciples got it. I mean, their response, oh my, increase our faith. You know, if you're telling me that when someone, even if they repent seven times for the same mistake in a day, and I'm supposed to forgive them, they began to understand just how hard this is, how big of a deal repentance and forgiveness is between us. And when Jesus says, well, what the issue is you don't understand the nature of faith, there's where we get to it. How can I not forgive you if you apologize to me when Jesus has forgiven me for all the things I did? And so it's this from God through me, out to my family and friends, and that they were beginning to understand a little bit. Still scratching their heads, but
yes,
beginning
indeed.
To understand.
Yes, indeed. I want to remind our listeners of our gift to you this particular month. It's a CD entitled The Basic Gospel Journey. Richard and Bob, you and I, we sat around one day and talked about this new covenant that we live in today, that we get to experience the blessings of today and what that means to us in our daily lives. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource. We want you to have it. It's yours just by asking. Go to our website, basicgospel.net. Click the gift link right there. Follow the instructions and we'll get one on its way. Or you can call Billy at 1-800-727-2828. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-662-8.
And Billy, you'll be glad to hear from you, like we're glad to hear from you, online at 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of lines available right now.
Well, let's go to Louise in Brooklyn, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. Nice to hear from you again.
Yeah, I know. I call you every day, almost. I have to ask a question, and I don't understand it. I mean, since I received the Lord, I remember the day, June 7th, you brought me to the Lord.
Just a couple of weeks ago, and that was a marvelous, marvelous day.
Right. But I'd like to know, what do they mean by confess your sins to one another? Does that mean when you hurt somebody, you confess your sin? Like, say I hurt somebody, and I go to them and I say I'm sorry, you know, for the sin I committed. I don't understand it. I thought God, you go to God and tell your sins through
good
Jesus
question.
Christ.
Well, that is a good question, Louise, and certainly you're always going to have a conversation with God. I mean, he's alive, living in you, so, you know, we as believers have this running conversation with God all day long, and when we do things, we certainly have the light of his life shining brightly on that, so we know exactly what it is, but part of that running conversation that we have with God is going to lead us to go to the person that we've truly offended, and that is the one that we've sinned against. And so he's going to move us by grace to go to that person and say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did this, and please forgive me, and let's be restored. Let's have this relationship restored back to what it was before I committed that sin. And so that's why it's important that we confess sins one to another. That's taking the love of God that has been poured out into our hearts and making it complete as we relate to each other.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks for your call, Louise, and love to hear that you're growing in the Lord and reading his word every day. That's exciting.
Yes, it is.
But there's so many things in the Bible I don't understand yet.
Well, Louise, just in hearing you and some of the questions that you're asking, it sounds to me that this truth is sinking in, and you're starting to get a handle on what this new life in Christ is all about. So you just take it one day at a time, and you're just going to be surprised at how the Lord keeps teaching you, okay?
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Louise.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
You're listening to Basic Gospel. Open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Give us a call.
Let's go to Long Island and talk with Nick, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you this afternoon?
Doing fine.
Good. I just had just tuned in on my way home from work, and I was listening to you guys talk about idols and money. And there was one scripture that you talked about, that money is the root of all evil.
The love of money.
The love of money is the root of all evil. And I wanted to see if you could just clarify that, because the scripture actually says money is the root of all kinds of evil. And that's a scripture that's misinterpreted many times. Money in itself is not evil. It does produce evil if you are chasing after it, but Scripture actually says all kinds of evil.
That's exactly right. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So the scripture is very clear. It is not the root of all evil, but all kinds of evil. And it's the love of money. Money in and of itself is neutral. I mean, it's just something that we've created as a means to buy and sell things. The bartering, you know, that's, you bring a cow and somebody else brings horses, and that gets a little cumbersome when you're trading goods and services back and forth like that. So we invented money as a substitute, and we've placed value upon that. But money in and of itself is neutral. It's the love of money. It's this idolatry that brings forth all kinds of evil. And we see that in the world, don't we? I mean, most things that happen out there, if you follow the money trail, you will get to the root of what's actually going on. You see bitter divorces and fights and all sorts of things happening. And when you clear out all of the debris of what's covering that up and get down to the root issue, it's a fight over money. See that in the political realm. We see that in every single realm. So it is definitely the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. Not every kind, but all kinds. And we certainly see that.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Hey, you're welcome, Nick, and thanks for the call. We appreciate that.
You know, I think to others, it's not just money, but it's power. You think of despotic leaders across the world that use their influence to gain power, and it's not really about money. So there are other roots that that grow deep in that particular vein.
But it all gets back to idolatry,
absolutely.
Which was which commandment number one, wasn't it?
Exactly.
And when we see that in our own hearts and lives, we come to this point and we say, Lord, help. I mean, rescue me from this. And that's what this salvation message is all about. Jesus Christ rescues us from that idolatry, and he changes our hearts so that our affections can be directed in the right way.
Sure.
I love this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. You know, it's a restating of the law. That's what Deuteronomy is. The people of Israel are on the eastern banks of the Jordan River. They're looking over into the promised land. Moses gathers them up and says, well, let's go over these laws again and this Mosaic covenant, and this is what's going to guide us in this land in which we're about to take. And so he restates the law. And all of it, when you look at the commandments, the first four are really about the love of God, and then the remainder are about the love of others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourself. That's what those Ten Commandments reduced down to. Of course, I don't think it's being reduced down to something.
Just too simple,
that's
impossible
right.
statements.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, that's impossible for us to do. Why? Because our hearts are headed in a different direction. Mm-hmm. Our hearts are idolatrous from the get-go. That is the result of sin. Mm-hmm. And so in this little obscure verse, Moses said there's going to be a point in time where God circumcises the hearts of his people, so that they can love him with all their heart, soul, and mind. Mm-hmm. New birth has to take place before we can truly love God, before we can break free from that idolatrous way in which we once lived. Mm-hmm. That's what salvation is all about. That's what this great rescue mission is all about. So it's wonderful to know that through faith in Jesus Christ, these hearts have been changed, and that we can truly love him and depend upon him and walk by faith in him in daily living.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Rentha, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Rentha.
I'm calling to ask you the question. In some denominations, the call for salvation comes from Romans. I think it's 8:9, 9, and 10. And some denominations, use Acts 2:38. Do you incorporate both, or how do you all, for persons not born again and not been saved, what scripture do you use, or do you use both those scriptures?
Well, there's a number of scriptures that talk about salvation. I normally go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, because that really lays out our condition, the fact that we are dead spiritually, that we are separated from the life of God, that we are trapped by our own fleshly desires. We are controlled by the philosophies of this world, but God in his grace reaches down to us, saves us by making us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the free gift of God, lest anyone boast. So normally I go to that particular passage because I think it really spells out what our need is and what God's solution is. There are certainly other passages. Romans 10, I think, is significant. But the Word of God itself leads us to salvation in Christ. I think you can go to anywhere in the Bible, and communicated correctly, it can lead a person to salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, what is salvation? It is being made alive together with Jesus Christ. We were dead, and now we're alive. Water baptism is merely a celebration of what Jesus Christ has accomplished in our life. We have died in Him. We've been buried with Him. We have been raised to walk in the newness of life. And when somebody celebrates that through water baptism, it is a beautiful, beautiful picture.
Thank you.
You are welcome, Rentha. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. Well, let's stay in Louisville and talk to Jackie listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you? God bless you.
Well, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Well, thank you. I was just sitting here listening, and one of your callers was a new convert, and congratulations. Thank God for another soul in the kingdom. I was calling because she was. She said that how do we confess our sins, or we're supposed to confess our sins one of another. And I found a scripture for her that might be helpful, and that's James chapter 5, verse 16. And it says, confess your faults one of another, and pray ye for one another, as we should do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that is one of those significant verses as it relates to how we treat one another within the body of Christ. You know, James was dealing throughout this book with fighting and quarrels and those sort of things. I love what he says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? That's how he starts out chapter 4. And we experience fights and quarrels, don't we? And
yes,
we certainly
we do.
See those within the body of Christ. Well, how are you going to get through those? Well, one of the first steps you take is when you raise the white flag, and you start speaking truth to one another. Start confessing your own attitudes, your own actions toward one another that have brought hurt and pain and sorrow into the lives of others. And when that happens, you start seeing healing take place within the body itself. I don't think he's talking necessarily about physical healing. I think he's talking about the healing of our souls. That have been wounded by the words and deeds of each other. So, great comment today, Jackie. We certainly appreciate you weighing in on today's broadcast. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you our free gift, The Basic Gospel Journey, okay?
And we'll be talking about that in just a moment. But a very, very quick question from Frank in Norman, Oklahoma. A Christian friend says he wants to read the Quran, the Book of Mormon, and various Hindu and Buddhist writings. What do you think about that? Is that good for him to do as a Christian?
Well, he's certainly not going to find truth there. Truth is in the Word of God. Truth is contained in Jesus Christ. I think there, it might be interesting to see what they say, to know so that you can engage in conversation and be able to say, hey, I know what this book says, and here's what the Word of God has to say, and I want to challenge you to take a deeper look at what the Word of God has to say. So, there are certainly a lot of people that have gained some tools in how to communicate this gospel more effectively to those who believe in those particular religious philosophies.
Right.
So could be of importance. I think if we study the real thing more, we'll be as equipped as well. So
absolutely. Well, friends, at Basic Gospel, we're ticking down to the final days of our free offer for that CD message called The Basic Gospel Journey. You know, individually, sometimes our journey takes us to a place we don't expect. Well, this is your invitation to take a journey to life and freedom, beginning and ending with Christ Jesus. If you've been confused about the direction of your life, the truth in this message will give you a clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. It's a CD message we call The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's our gift to you during the month of June. So time is running out. Make sure you order yours in time to get it before the end of the month. Just click A Gift for You at basicgospel.net or call and speak with Billy at 1-800-727-2828. That's basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us at the same time tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.